Good morning. This is Wayne Greer with the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. It's good to be back this Tuesday morning and hope everybody's having a nice day. I can't believe how nice the weather has been the past few days. Good to see you, Dave.
Hey, it's good to be here, Wayne. Thank you very much.
Did you order up this nice weather?
That was me.
Yes.
I called for it.
Me too. I like it. It's really been nice. We've been blessed with some very pretty days lately.
Yesterday, we were saying it might snow on Friday, but today I don't think we're saying that.
Really?
Yeah. Like Friday morning. It wasn't going to be anything big.
But, yeah. You know. I don't know. It's hard for me to imagine forecasting the weather 5 days out and being accurate with it.
It's kind of hard. It's sort of a guess. Yeah.
Some of the older people can guess
fairly accurately
as well.
Yeah.
Sometimes I can guess pretty. Sometimes I'll look outside and see what the weather is doing. But anyway. It is good to be back in the studio this morning, and we just come in and sat down, so I'm gathering my thoughts here as I'm talking. But anyway, I want to do a proverb out of Proverbs chapter number 23 this morning, and what I'm going to talk about today, you know, this week is Thanksgiving week. I know people are excited about that. Get a couple of days off and be with friends and family. And
I think more people are traveling this year than they have in quite a long time because of the maybe the X-ray thing that's going on, or the, you know, you've been hearing about that with the Federal Aviation Administration's new security rules. And
so, I've been keeping up with that, and I don't know if more people are traveling or people that are traveling, or
I think more people are driving.
Oh, you mean driving as opposed to flying. Okay,
yeah, according to AAA, more people are going to be driving.
Yeah, okay. Well, I would too. I wouldn't want to deal with that. And in fact, I'm going to talk about that, or probably will. I'm not going to promise, but here before long, because that's pretty serious business to think about what you have to go through just to travel around the country. And also, constitutionally, can they... you know, according to the Constitution, I believe it's the Fourth Amendment, the ability to move about uninhibited by the government. And there's a lot of question on is that hindering that. But anyway, that's for another time. Today, I'm going to read out of Proverbs chapter number 23. And I was thinking, you know, well, here we have Thanksgiving coming up. And I'm going to talk about today freedom of worship versus freedom of religion. You hear both of those terms, freedom of worship or freedom of religion. That's what I'm going to talk about today. But first of all, I'm going to do a little devotional out of Proverbs chapter 23. Today is the 23rd, and we are going to read out, of course, Proverbs chapter number 23. And I encourage everybody to read a chapter a day out of the book of Proverbs. We've done that now for probably a year, I guess. And so it's a good habit to be in. There's life lessons. You learn more than you would think, and it never gets old.
So you read the whole chapter, like roll through the whole thing? Because, I mean, some of it doesn't seem to really flow into the other one.
Like, yeah. You know. Well, and that's the nature of a proverb, a short saying.
That's what it is.
Yeah, that's what it is.
So do you read the whole chapter, or do you just pick out one of them that you like, one portion of the chapter?
No, I read the whole chapter.
Okay.
And so sometimes, you know, I've read stuff for years now.
Well, yeah.
And then all of a sudden I'll see a verse where I've never really understood, or I've never really seen that until now. But this spoke to me this morning. I was reading about it, or I was picked it up, and I thought, you know, the first thing has to deal with eating, and that is a lot of what Thanksgiving we think about. We think about sitting down, eating together, but this is about sitting down and eating with a ruler. It says in verse 1, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. I was talking about that last week, about, you know, riches and the economy and things happening. Verse number 5. In fact, I quoted this last week, and I said I can't remember exactly where it is, but it was in Proverbs chapter 23. I quoted verse number 5, "Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he, to thee, but his heart is not with thee." And I wanted to focus on verse number 5. "Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven." And I was talking about that last week and talking about how, you know, here today, gone tomorrow, riches, as far as that's concerned. And I was thinking about this actually yesterday. The thought came to my mind that I was thankful for less. And I got to thinking about my life and what has transpired over the past year, 2 years, and we have less. The economy is down. A lot of people have less. Income is down. People have literally lost homes, businesses. That's what I was talking about last week. I brought it up in the newspaper where foreclosures were an all-time high in North Carolina, up something like 688% in the last 10 years. And how, you know, you can be going along and thinking, hey, I'm doing good and I can buy things and go places and do things and I have money in the bank. And then, you know, the Bible says right there, riches make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. They can just be gone. And a lot of people have experienced that. But I got to thinking about that and I thought, you know, really there's a blessing in that. I have less, but I am more blessed. I have less. What comes along with less, there's less that I have to worry about. There's less that I have to be concerned about as far as taking care of and maintenance and upkeep and payments and taxes and insurances. And so, sure, we got less, but I'm thankful for less because I also have less stress, less worry, less headache, less heartache. I have more time with my family. I have more time to do the Lord's work. I have more time to study, more time to visit. And so I've thought and heard the saying, sometimes less is more. So I'm thankful for less. When people think about what they're thankful for Thanksgiving, I'm thankful for less. And that might sound odd, but I am.
That didn't sound odd at all.
But I am. And so maybe you're listening in today and you've got less and you're stressing about it and fretting about it. Well, you just might as well embrace it because riches make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven. And that's not where happiness is anyway, is in riches and things of this world, but they're in spiritual things. And so I'm thankful for that. And I wanted to share that this morning out of Proverbs chapter 23. But I said I was going to talk about freedom of worship versus freedom of religion, and I want to get right into that today. I was studying about it, thinking about it. I've been looking at it for about a week now. Sometimes I study a little bit longer and think a little bit more and have a little more material than other times. I've got quite a bit of things I want to share today, but freedom of religion versus freedom of worship. And what got me thinking about this, I have an article or a magazine that I subscribe to. It's called Israel My Glory. It's from the Ministry of the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry, and it's a bi-monthly magazine that comes out. And there's an article in here by Craig L. Parshall. And Mr. Parshall, he is the vice president of the National Religious Broadcasters, and that's a pretty good group if you looked at all the Christian radio stations across the country and they all have a group together, National Association of Religious Broadcasters. But anyway, there's an article in there entitled Tampering with Freedom of Religion. And I wanted to read just a little bit out of that to sort of set the stage for what I'm talking about today, Tampering with Freedom of Religion. And it's got a quote at the very beginning. It says, "But a constitution of government once changed from freedom can never be restored. Liberty once lost is lost forever." John Adams said that. And the article starts out, it says, President Ronald Reagan often called the White House a bully pulpit, meaning its power and prestige gave the President of the United States the ability to speak out on issues and influence policy. So when the current administration started substituting the phrase freedom of worship for the traditional freedom of religion, people started paying attention. He's talking about the Obama administration substituting freedom of worship, where traditionally they would use the phrase freedom of religion. And he says President Barack Obama has made this substitution frequently, as has Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. And he referred to that in Texas when the American soldiers were killed by the Muslim doctor in the army, on the army at Fort Hood there. And when he went and gave the speech, he referred to freedom of worship versus freedom of religion. And it refers to Hillary Clinton. It says the United States Commission on International Religious Freedom noted the shift and complained about it in its 2010 report. He said, according to the USCIRF, the new language signals concrete policy implications for religious freedom, because freedom of worship is a much narrower view of religious liberties. This is a critical point because the new phrase follows an international trend that differs radically from the religious freedom principles in the First Amendment. And I'm going to refer to that. And he refers to some UN treaties. He refers to several different examples of where in the world this freedom of worship is substituted for freedom of religion. He says, under international law, worship is a limited right within a church body. It fails to include public evangelism. Article 18 of the UN Declaration of Human Rights articulates this right. It protects teaching, practice, worship, and observance, but overtly and explicitly fails to protect public preaching. Now, that's all of that article I'm going to read, and I'm going to break it down like J. Vernon McGee used to talk about putting the cookies on the bottom shelf. What does all that mean? What does that mean to us? What does it matter if the president talks about freedom of worship, freedom of religion? You know, what's the difference? It's the same thing. Or what if Hillary Clinton, in all this going around the world and making all these speeches, begins to talk about freedom of worship versus freedom of religion? And I've known about this for several years now, what the difference is, so I'm going to try to share it with you this morning. Used to be here in the mountains of North Carolina, and a lot of the churches supported a missionary whose name was P.V. Zug. And P.V. Zug was a missionary from Texas. You know, I've been preaching 20 years now, and he was an older gentleman when I first met him. He passed away probably about 4 years ago, but he would come to the churches here in the mountains of North Carolina and really all across America. He had places that he would go, and he was a missionary to the Middle East. And Brother Zugs, what he did, he would go into mainly Muslim countries like Egypt, Jordan, Qatar, places like that, and he would help the churches there. He would help the national pastors of Baptist churches in places like Egypt and Jordan and Qatar, and I forget all the other places. He would go into Palestine, Jerusalem, but mainly it was Muslim countries. And so he would come and he would tell in the churches what the Lord was doing in these Muslim countries. And his story of religion over there is not like religion in America. I asked him one time, I said, I didn't even think they had Baptist churches in Egypt, for example. And he said, yes. He said, they are allowed to have their church. They have freedom of worship. When they go in the church, close the doors, they can have church. The Christian families can come. They can have church. He said, but what they cannot have is any type of evangelism. They cannot go out into Egypt. They cannot go into the city and hand somebody a gospel tract and invite them to church. They cannot get on a street corner and, preach the gospel. They cannot hang a sign out. For example, you go down through Vilas over there, and there's a big old sign beside the road, and it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." There was a John 3:16. There was one of those when I lived in Idaho, just out beside the highway. It was there the whole time. That's freedom of religion. Freedom of religious expression in a public place. That's against the law. He told about people who would be converted over there and would be saved out of Islam and would want to convert to Christianity and be baptized, and their life would literally be in danger. And sometimes the people's own family would put them to death if they could catch them. And so, but he said, you know, they have, that's how they get away with it in the UN and dealing with all these other countries. They have freedom of worship. They do not have freedom of religion. I also have another missionary friend, Brother Dwayne Whittemore. He's with Anchor Baptist Missions. He's the gentleman that I went to Alaska with last summer. And he had been to the country of Egypt within the past year or 18 months. And while he was over there in Egypt, he experienced the same thing. They can go in their churches. They had a big conference over there. I forget how many Baptist pastors came to this conference, but he got to preach. And he said during that conference, and it was between 50 and 100 Baptist pastors in the country of Egypt. And he said while he was there, he said that one of the pastors had just gotten out of prison for evangelizing, for trying to tell somebody about Christ outside of the church. And so he asked for all the pastors to stand up that had been in prison for their faith. And every one of those pastors had been in prison at one time or another in the country of Egypt. But they have freedom of worship. See, there's a difference. They do not have freedom of religion, but they do have freedom of worship. Yes, they can have a church. When they go to their church, they can do whatever in their church, but they cannot have any freedom of expression when they walk outside that church. That's in the country of Egypt. When I was growing up, you know, Russia, communist Russia, they're going to invade us. They're going to take our Bibles away. They're going to nuke us. You know, you'd hear things like this all the time in the churches and even in school. Communism was a bad thing. And we were taught, you know, that they didn't have Christianity in Russia. Well, but they could have church. There's always been the Greek Orthodox Church in Russia. That's the official state church. They had freedom of worship. They could have their church. They could go to church. They could have services in that church, but nothing, no outreach outside of that church. China's the same way. I have a missionary friend in Canada, and he came to our church last year, and he was telling us that even in Canada, they have freedom of worship. They do not have full-fledged freedom of religion, because you go outside the church and you begin to evangelize, you can get in trouble with the law if you offend somebody with the gospel message. So it's different in other countries, and many other countries this morning we could talk about having freedom of worship, but they do not have freedom of religion. Now, our Constitution in the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment, deals with this subject of freedom of religion. It says, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof." It sets forth the right of freedom of religion. And if you read that, other articles, the Declaration of Independence, these are not rights that the government gives us, but these are rights that God has given us. And it's just set forth that the government would stay out of the business of the church. It's not to protect the government from the church, but the church from the government. So it says, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof." That is freedom of religion. You can hear this radio broadcast today on this, what some people would call a touchy subject, something, or I might say something else, or I might read or quote John 3:16. We have this because we have freedom of religion. I seen something yesterday on Facebook, and it was a blessing. I don't know, some of you may have heard it, you could probably find it, but what it was, somebody had shared this clip, and it took place in a mall here in America. And what it was they were having Christmas music. It was just November 13th or 14th. It just happened, and I'm sure you can find it if you're computer savvy and know how. But what happened was in this mall, it was in the food court, and they were having, you know, everybody was in there eating and milling around, and somebody was off in the corner playing Christmas music. And they started playing a song, the Hallelujah Chorus, and this lady stands there, and she's acting like she's talking on a cell phone, and she starts out, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, and she starts singing. And then somebody else in another part joins in and joins her, and what it was, there was a choir in there, and they started, and they were incognito, I guess. Nobody knew they were there, but they all start singing from different places in the food court there. And boy, by the end of it, you know, it was really a blessing to see it. But people were standing up and they were holding up their hands and they were saying Hallelujah to the King of Kings and glory and Hallelujah forever and ever. And it was just, and then at the end, people were clapping and they'd got up out of their chairs. But I thought to myself, if you tried that in the mall in Jordan, they'd cut your head off. They have no freedom of religious expression. It is different in this country than in any other country. And we're coming up to Thanksgiving. And when we think about Thanksgiving, we think about the Pilgrims. They fled their native country of England to Holland seeking freedom of religion. They went to Holland because Holland had far less strict rules regarding a man's conscience to worship God according to the dictates of his own heart. They went to Holland and they spent several years over there, and they found out that they were pilgrims and strangers. They're in a strange land. They're in a strange economy. They're with a strange people. They were forbidden from owning land in Holland. There was just a lot of strikes against even when they went over there. And Holland and Spain were getting ready for a treaty to expire. And if Spain got a foothold in Holland again, well, Spain, you've heard about the Spanish Inquisition. They'd already killed hundreds of thousands of Hollanders who were not Catholic. And so that was getting ready to expire. So they didn't know what was going to happen in the country of Holland. So we all know a little bit about what happened there. They contracted the Mayflower with the Virginia Company. They left Holland September the 6th of 1620. They came to this new land. They landed. They didn't land in Virginia. That's where they were supposed to, but that was the hand of God leading them. They landed up at Plymouth Rock, way north of where they were supposed to. When they landed, what they found was that there was provisions already there. There was corn that they found. There was land that was cleared where they could set up a colony to begin with. And if you study into the historical record behind it, what had happened, there was a disease came through and wiped out all the native Indians in that area before they even came. And so they came in and they literally found a place prepared, and they had a hard time. They had a hard time getting started and everything. But before they even got off the boat, they made the Mayflower Compact. And in that first paragraph, they set forth the reasons why they had came and what they were going to do, how they were going to govern themselves. That's what the Mayflower Compact was the first attempt of anybody in the known world to govern themselves. And it says in that, for ye glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith. They came to have freedom of religion so that they could not only worship how they wanted to, but so that they could tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they came to advance the Christian faith. And those who know the history of America, you know that freedom of religion was not automatic. They came seeking freedom of religion, and others came behind them. Other denominations came, and they settled different colonies, which eventually turned into states. But what they did when they came, they set up freedom of worship for themselves, but not for others. And so you had different sections. You had the Puritans, you had the Congregationalists, Presbyterians, Anglicans, Lutherans. and all these groups had a hand in persecuting other more separatist religious bodies like the Quakers, the Methodists, especially the Baptists. Just some examples this morning. In 1638, a law was passed in Massachusetts to force everyone to support the Puritan clergy. Now, you talk about separation of church and state. What if they said, we're going to make a law and everybody, when you pay your taxes, a certain amount's going to go to the Baptist preacher? You talk about an uproar. That would never go. But in America, once upon a time, that's what they did. Everybody, when you pay your taxes, a certain portion is going to go to support the Puritan clergy. In Boston, a little bit later on, anyone opposing infant baptism or withholding their children from it was to be banished from the city. And to be banished then was to be literally banished to the wilderness. It was a death sentence. In 1659, two Baptist preachers, John Clark and Obadiah Holmes, were visiting in Massachusetts in the house of a brother of theirs. Two constables broke in, terminated the service, hauled Clark and Holmes before court, fined them heavily. Mr. Holmes was whipped unmercifully in the streets of Boston. The first president of Harvard University, Henry Dunstar, he was forced to resign from his position because he embraced Baptist principles, and he refused to have his children baptized, infant baptism. In the early 1700s in Virginia and North Carolina, Baptist people were imprisoned. They were fined. It was against the law. Once again, they were compelled to join a certain church. These early people who came to America, they set up freedom of worship for themselves, but not for others. But we know the story in America. Eventually, religious freedom came to all. And I read the First Amendment there. Congress shall make no law concerning an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That means that I can worship God according to the dictates of my heart. And the government can't tell me yes or no. They cannot constrict our freedom of religion. So I say all that to say this today, that freedom of religion came with much blood and sacrifice. A lot of people suffered down through the years under the hands of other, Christians even. Why? Because they had freedom of worship, but they didn't have freedom of religion. Freedom of religion is the most precious freedom that we have. And all other freedoms revolve on the freedom of religion. And I say that it's the most important. It's the greatest freedom that we have, because the Bible says in John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if we can't have freedom to proclaim the truth and tell the truth to others, then we're constricting all other freedoms. The Bible said in John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And so we have freedom today in America. We can be free indeed because we can proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And other people have freedom. And so when you have freedom to discuss, when you have freedom to share, when you have freedom to witness, when you have freedom to open up the Bible and say, look, this is what God says, or another man has the freedom to open up the Quran and say, look, this is what my scripture says, then you have freedom between two people to come to the truth. And there's no law in America saying you have to be Catholic, or you have to be a Muslim, or you have to be a Buddhist, or you have to be a Baptist. We have freedom of religion, and so it ought to be guarded. The current administration, and I've already shown by way of example, is a enemy to that. When they begin to change the language and talk about freedom of worship, what they talk about in communist countries, we are a different nation. We have a different foundation, and we ought to guard that with all of our hearts. Well, I want to say happy Thanksgiving to everybody. I'm thankful for the freedoms that we have. I'm thankful for the opportunity to have a radio broadcast like this. I hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving. This is brought to you by Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We're at 1128 Baird's Creek Road. We'd love for you to come and visit with us at any time. Dave, I hope you have a great Thanksgiving.
Thanks a lot, Wint. And I'll be traveling down to South Georgia.
All right.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
It will be. I don't think, did we say the website too?
No, it's MountLebanonBC.org, which is MountLebanonBC.org. And you can get sermons, the website, directions to the church, contact us. All of these things are on that website.
Very cool. You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty on AM 1450 WATA Boone. The news is up next.